We continue this morning in our series in Galatians, and we commence a mini-series, if you will, within it, on the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5, contrasting what he's about to say with the works of the flesh, which we considered last week. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that we might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you and your Heavenly Father, to the praise of your precious name, the name above every name, the name in which we pray. Amen. Well, as Kenneth pointed to earlier on this Valentine's Day, we have before us most fittingly the theme of love. St. Paul knew about love. He had experienced the love of God, the redeeming love of God, the adopting love of God, the undeserved love of God in Christ. He had experienced the love of God's people who welcomed him in, this one who had terrorized the church, who had terrorized them, but touched by Christ's redeeming, forgiving, reconciling love, they reached out to this former terrorist of the church, this one whose heart Jesus had changed, and they embraced him as Saul, their brother. And they followed him as the apostle, Paul. Paul knew about the love of God, the love of God's people. And he wanted to show that love to others. He knew the power of love in the life of the church and the witness that love can be to a needy and watching world. So here, as he was calling the Galatians to walk in the Spirit who displaces and replaces those works of the flesh that we considered last week, Paul, as he was calling them to walk in the Spirit, he spoke to them of the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of a Spirit indwelt, Spirit-enriched, Spirit-empowered life. And the first fruit that he mentioned was love. He mentioned it first because it is the best of all. All the other fruit mentioned in verses 22 and 23 are, in one way or another, embodied in love and expressed through genuine love. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love rejoices in the truth. So love exhibits the other fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, joy, faithfulness, and so on. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 as well, faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. It is the preeminent fruit. It is the preeminent characteristic of God and of God's people. It's what testifies to the world that we are Christ's disciples, our love for one another. Regarding the fruit of the Spirit, Martin Luther said, it would have been enough to mention only the single fruit of love, for love embraces all the fruits of the Spirit. This morning, I want us to consider this fruit of the Spirit that embraces all others and how we can grow in showing it under two headings. First, God is love. And second, God's people become more loving through the ministry of God's Spirit. First, God Himself is love. This is a foundational truth of the Christian faith, and it is rooted in the most foundational Christian doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the disciple whom Jesus loved said, God is love. And in case we didn't catch it the first time, down in verse 16, he says it again. God is love. Love is not just something God feels or talks about or does. God is love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always been love. They have always existed in loving relationship with one another. There's never been a time when God was not love. The Father showing love to His Son, the Son showing love to His Father, the Spirit showing love to the Father and the Son. And this is foundational to our understanding of real, genuine love. Love is not something that we as human beings came up with. It's not our invention, and it's not something that we ourselves can define appropriately. The standard of love is God Himself. God the Father is love. He is the one who said at Jesus' baptism, "This is the Son whom I love. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And again at His transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." And this eternal Father who loves His eternal Son also loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His beloved Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 3:1, behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. The Father is love, and so is His Son. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And in Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And in Ephesians 5:2, Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. The Father is love. The Son is love. The Spirit is love. And that takes us to our second point this morning, namely that we become more loving as God Himself is loving, as the Father communicates love, as the Son has communicated love for us by the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. Love in our lives, love expressed by us, is the fruit. It is the evidence of the Spirit's personal presence in our hearts. As Paul put it in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Father and the ascended Christ have given the Holy Spirit to us, who are born again by the Spirit, who are disciples of Jesus, who are children of the Heavenly Father by grace. And the Holy Spirit, what He has done is He has poured out, and He is pouring out into our hearts the love of the triune God. And this image of the love of God being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is meant to evoke images of water gushing forth into our hearts. So envision not a trickle, but a river like the Nantahala, the rapids of the Nantahala. This is a prodigious exhibition of God's love, not a piddly one. The Holy Spirit does not love and show us the love of God in a piddly way, any more than Jesus shows us the love of God in a piddly way. Look at the cross of Christ. Behold the love of God for us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit shows us the love of God, pours out the love of God into our hearts in this prodigious, extravagant way. The Holy Spirit holds nothing back when He brings the love of God into our hearts. He brings the very presence of the Father who has adopted us and the Son who died for us and who lives forevermore. The Holy Spirit is rivers of living water, as Jesus taught. Rivers of living water, full of the love of God flowing into and out of the hearts of God's children. Thus, this love of God cannot be contained. We mustn't attempt to contain it. It is overflowing, even as the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has overflowed to us. Through the redeeming love of God in Christ and through the Holy Spirit who sheds that love abroad in our hearts, so this love cannot be contained within us. It must be exhibited in the life of the Christian who is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is within us, then the love of God will break through us. The love of God will be like a mighty river bursting its banks as it wells up within us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture pictures as the love of God operating in us and through us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let me mention three ways that this can happen more and more in our lives. This is the desire of the Christian. I want to be more loving. I remember growing up at the Elkin Presbyterian Church and singing in the children's choir and singing that song. One of the verses was, which, "Lord, I want to be more loving. In my heart, in my heart." And that is the heartbeat of the Christian. "Lord, I fall short of your standard of love. I want to be more like Jesus in how I love my spouse, my children, my parents, my neighbors, my fellow church members, those who are opposed to Jesus, those that I want to win for Christ. I want to be more loving." Three ways that this can happen more and more in our lives. How the love of the triune God can flow through our lives and replace, push out, displace those counterfeit loves that we heard about last week. The sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality and those things that are opposed to love. Jealousy, enmity, strife, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, envy, and so forth. Replace those things that will never satisfy our hearts. Drunkenness and the like. And that will recalibrate our hearts to worship only the true God, displacing idolatry and sorcery and things like that. How can this happen more and more in our lives? How can we be more loving? Well, the first way is to experience God's love. To experience God's love. We cannot give what we have not received. We cannot express what we ourselves are not experiencing. in our lives in a deep and personal way. 1 John 4:19 says we love because God first loved us. To be able to love the way we were made to love, we must receive the free gift of God's love to us in Christ. That's the love that really changes us and begins transforming us into those who love as we were created to love. And we do this by faith. We do this by embracing the love of the Father revealed in the cross of His beloved Son. We do this by admitting that in the words of 2 Timothy 3, we have loved the wrong things. We have been lovers of ourselves, boastful, proud, disobedient to our parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we first receive God's love by admitting that we have not loved Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Yet God, in spite of this, has said to us in His Son, I love you. That's grace. In our sin, we have said to God, we do not love you. In His grace, He has said to us, I love you. And I have given my Son for you. And so we receive His love by receiving His Son. And John tells us in John 1:12 that all who receive Him, doesn't matter how unloving you've been, if you will humble yourself and receive Him, that all who do receive Him, that is, who believe in His name, He gives the right to become children of God. Think of that. Receiving Christ moves you from being a rebel, one who is unloving, one who is at enmity with God, and relocates you into the home of the loving Heavenly Father, giving you a new birth into His family and into His love, a love that will never let you go. And this love is not just something that we experience when we first believe. It is something that we experience as we walk with Jesus and as we ask Him to fill our hearts with His love by His Spirit. As Paul said in Colossians 2:6, so then just as you received Christ as Lord, so walk in Him. As we receive God's love, we are able to relay that love to others. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 should be a prayer that we pray for ourselves. Paul told the Ephesians, I pray to the Father that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul's prayer was that the Heavenly Father would so fill the Christians in Ephesus with His Spirit that they would experience the love of Christ to such a degree that it would change them from the inside out. May that be our prayer as well. So first, experiencing God's love. We can't express what we're not in a personal way through faith, through confession of sin, through repentance, through experiencing that shed blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins, through experiencing the felt personal presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot express to others what we are not experiencing. So the prayer is, Lord, let me bask in your love, rest in your love, be satisfied in your love, so that I may day by day show it to others. The second specific way we grow in exhibiting love as a fruit of the Spirit is through extending God's love by extending forgiveness. This is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to loving people in a fallen world. Fallen people in a fallen world, in order to love in a fallen world, forgiveness is required. God's love for us involves forgiveness. The love of God incarnate was crucified so that we may be forgiven all our sins. He even prayed for those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Loving sinful people means being willing to forgive them. And this reality is at the heart of the word Paul used here in Galatians 5:22 for love. It is the word agape. It means loving someone not for what they can give you, but because you are choosing to love them, even when they don't deserve it. It is selfless love. It is the love that leads us to overlook offenses, forgive others, pray for those who have wronged us, and love those who are unkind to us. It is the love that Peter spoke of in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 when he said, above all things, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this love is not always reciprocated. Jesus himself knows that quite well. But we are called to love like Jesus nonetheless. So this love does not keep a record of wrongs. This love is not resentful, which means in our experience in this fallen world, we have to constantly be forgiving others. We have to constantly be repenting of bitterness and resentfulness and praying, Holy Spirit, replace my resentfulness, replace my bitterness with love. The love of God that forgives. The love that covers a multitude of sins. The love that desires above all else to overcome evil with good and to promote the kingdom of God's love. It is a love that loves even those that we don't naturally like. Those who don't have a lot in common with us. Those who don't share our opinions. I was reminded recently of the relationship between Lady Astor, the first female member of the British Parliament, and her relationship with Winston Churchill, whom she did not like one bit. And one time she told him, Winston, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your coffee. Churchill replied, Madam, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. The power to love people like that, people that we don't naturally like. We don't naturally gravitate towards. We don't naturally have a lot in common with. Maybe they annoy us, or maybe they even seem out to get us. The power to love people like that comes exclusively from the Holy Spirit, who is forming Christ within us. The same Christ who forgave those who crucified him, who forgave Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting him and his church, and who has forgiven us of all our sins. He will enable us to love those who have sinned against us by forgiving them as Christ has forgiven us. We bear the Spirit's fruit of love by experiencing God's love personally in a deep and consistent way, and by extending love through extending forgiveness, and finally by determining to excel in loving others. Determining to excel in loving others. Love is a choice. It is not merely a feeling, it is a choice. As Paul emphasizes here, it is a choice enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, but it is nonetheless a choice. In Colossians 3, Paul told the Colossians, and this is an example of many examples in Scripture, of the command to love, demonstrating that love is a choice. Paul said, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So just as you determined what clothes you were going to wear today and you chose to put them on, so you must determine to put on love every day. To put on the big boy pants of love. Mature, Christ-like, forgiving love that overlooks offenses, that forgives those who sin against you, that is sometimes not reciprocated. But you've got to say, "I'm going to put on the garment of love, and I'm going to wear it by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because that's how Christ loves me. That's how my Heavenly Father loves me. Not because I deserve it, but because He is love and He now resides in me. And that love of His compels me to love as He has loved me." That's at the heart of how I say thank you to Him for loving me undeservedly, is by loving those whom He has placed in my life. So somebody maybe annoys you or they do something. What is God doing? He's giving you an opportunity. It's an opportunity to love others as He has loved you. And so, like a student determining to excel in school, maybe a student who hadn't been doing very well, and they get a good talking to by a parent or a teacher, and they determine, they say, "Okay, I'm going to excel in this subject in which I've been failing." We have to be that way. We have to determine to excel in showing love. We have to say every day, "I will love today better than I did yesterday. And I'm going to ask for the help of the Spirit, and I will receive His outpouring and allow Him to control my life and form Christ in me, so that these other things, enmity, strife, jealousy, envy, all those things will be displaced as the rivers of God's love fill my life and pour forth from my life, so that I will love today better than I did yesterday." May the Holy Spirit have His way in our lives so that we will be known as Christ's disciples and as children of the Heavenly Father by our love for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.